This is Jim Sklavounis of Grinderman, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Tamara Sahai-Kevich in Lebanon, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
We didn't create the dilemma that's out there right now, where 70% of America wants neither candidate, and we've got approval ratings at all-time low.
Mike Rawlings with the bipartisan No Labels group says they won't put forward a presidential ticket after failing to find a candidate. He says in spite of the unpopularity of President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump, third-party efforts like those of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. are pointless. During a tense call, Biden told Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu continued U.S. support depends on Israel's treatment of Palestinian civilians. The White House has not said it's reconsidering arms sales to Israel, however. Netanyahu also continues to face pressure at home. A key rival and cabinet member, the former General Benny Gantz, is calling for new elections there in September. The Council on American Islamic Relations says anti-Muslim incidents in the U.S. rose by nearly 60% last year, higher than even after 9/11 or during former President Trump's Muslim ban. Corey Saylor is their research and advocacy director.
This is the largest number of complaints CARE has had reported to it in the organization's 30-year history since we've been taking care of numbers. That's pretty sobering information.
Most of the 8,000 incidents came after the Hamas attacks in Israel. In Oklahoma, Michael DeWayne Smith was executed by lethal injection Thursday, the 12th execution there since capital punishment resumed in 2021. Smith's family asked the governor to stop the execution. His sister-in-law, Nicole, says there was evidence of coercion of the witnesses during the trial.
We're asking the governor, have a heart. Please understand that this is a human's life that you're taking.
The Office of Personnel Management is issuing new rules to safeguard the civil service from presidential actions. Trump says if reelected, he'll strip thousands of federal employees of civil service protections by reclassifying them. Biden's campaign is calling on voters to disavow violence after Trump posted a video showing the back gate of a pickup with a photo of Biden hogtied on it. Former D.C. police officer Michael Fanone previously testified about the January 6th Capitol riot and says those kinds of attacks are bad for the country.
These are Americans who do not appreciate or understand democracy. These are people who believe wholeheartedly that the ends justify the means.
Meanwhile, a federal judge sharply criticized a January 6th rioter for downplaying the attack and normalizing violent rhetoric. Washington, D.C. District Judge Roy spoke when sentencing Taylor James Jonatakis to more than 7 years Wednesday. In a podcast, hard-right Louisiana Congressman Clay Higgins says federal law enforcement entrapped people during insurrection. Higgins argues without proof that federal agents tricked Trump supporters into attacking the Capitol. I'm Farah Siddiqui for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A new study by Pew Research finds Americans broadly support such democracy reforms as making Election Day a holiday and 2 weeks of in-person early voting, but also think voters must use government-issued ID and voting machines should have paper backup. Pew surveyed over 5,100 American adults in January 2024 from a pool which reflects the demographics of the U.S. It found an increasing number of Americans, 72%, supported making Election Day a national holiday, and 76% supported 2 weeks of in-person early voting. The public is split, however, on having a choice for mail-in voting, with 57% supporting and 41% opposing. Among Republicans, support for mail-in voting dropped in 4 years from 49% to 28%, likely in response to former President Donald Trump's baseless fraud claims. While voting rights groups have tried to protect voting for the elderly, disabled, and students, 81% of Americans support voting only with a government-issued ID, up among all partisan stripes. Support for Election Day registration and automatic voter registration through the DMV declined slightly since 2021, but is down 10% among Republicans. Pew also found notable differences among younger adults and communities of color who are more likely to support early voting, mail-in voting, and automatic and Election Day registration. We have a link to the full Pew survey at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, April 5th. Local early morning temperatures range from 27 degrees in Tannersville to 33 in Medusa. Regional average soil temperature is 39 degrees. Light lingering snow this morning turns to rain by the afternoon. It will remain light and we get a high temperature of 45 degrees at 3 p.m. Overnight, temperatures drop to 37. Tomorrow, some wind gusts in the afternoon should barely be a nuisance as we watch the mercury hit 47 degrees at 4 p.m. Overnight, said mercury falls to 35 degrees. Sunday is looking dry, a little windy, with a high of 49. Monday, you know what day that is. Is looking pretty nice. We get a high of 60 degrees, calm winds, moderate cloud cover, sprinkled with little bits of road rage. Sunset today will be at 7:11 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:26 a.m. Looking way up, we see plasma winds will be average at 438 kilometers per second with an average density of 9 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible till dark and fair below 8 megahertz overnight. There will be low chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 47. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Who listens to radio? That go where you go medium called radio. That's with you every night through the long commuter fight. And in the morning with your toast and mama lady, oh. Who listens to radio? No matter if it's summer, winter, spring or fall. Who listens to radio? Only 150 million.
Next, this is All the King's Horses from Hudson Valley's Jasmine Dream Wagner's 2020 release Switchblade Moon. It's an EP partially recorded in Chatham and includes Hudson's writer Cooley on saw.
There, the cancel flights. crazy cats clawed up the mountain to state their demands, and how they fought the wicked glass always. Cattle prods and
This is Bria Barthel for Hudson Mohawk Magazine. Listeners are aware of the fact that a near total eclipse of the sun can be viewed in the Capital Region and beyond on Monday, April 8th. My guest today is Valerie Rapson, Assistant Professor of Physics and Astronomy at SUNY Oneonta. Valerie, welcome to Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Thanks so much for this opportunity. It's great to be here with you.
So first, what the heck is an eclipse?
Oh yeah, we're super excited anytime that there's a lunar or solar eclipse coming, and we've got this solar eclipse coming up on April 8th. Basically, what we get to observe from Earth's perspective is the moon appearing to cross in front of the sun and block out either a majority or, in this case, all of the sun's light if you happen to be standing in the right position to be able to see that.
We had a solar eclipse just a few years ago in 2017. What's different about this one?
Yeah, we did. So back in 2017, the path of totality, where the moon completely covers the sun, crisscrossed across the United States. But every time these eclipses happen, the path is a little bit different. So those of us in New York are really excited this time because the path of totality does cross part of New York State. So if you travel a little bit north or west of the Capital Region, you'll be able to see that total solar eclipse phenomenon.
I was trying to figure out how the heck a small moon blocked out a big sun. And then I realized, oh, well, if I move my fist across my face, that it blocks out more than just the size of the fist.
Right. The moon is really small, but it's also a lot closer than the sun. And nature kind of gave us this beautiful thing where it's just right. The moon appears to be just the right size to cross in front of the sun.
What makes us get 95% and Buffalo area get 100% if we both have the sun and we both have the moon?
That's a great question. So everybody would get to see totality if everything was lined up kind of in a flat line in outer space. But if you imagine the sun, the earth, and the moon is tilted with respect to the plane of the solar system, and the moon's orbit is also tilted a little bit with respect to that same plane. So basically, not everything is lined up exactly in a straight line. So because of all of these tilts, you have to be in exactly the right place to see the moon completely cover up the sun. If you're a little bit of in a different location in New York State or within the United States, then the angle that you're looking at will be different, and the moon is only going to partly block out the sun during the eclipse.
And I was surprised to see how long the process takes. I was looking at a site, and it said that in Albany, things begin on April 8th at 2:12, it reaches maximum at 3:26, and it ends at 4:36. 2.5 hours?
Yeah. We get to experience it for quite a while. Basically, what you have to wait for is the moon to move through its orbit around the Earth, And at that 2 o'clock time frame in the beginning, the moon is just starting to appear to touch the edge of the sun. And then it slowly moves across the face of the sun. Around 3:30, you'll have that maximum point or totality. And then the moon's got to keep shifting. So it's going to kind of pass over the face of the sun back on the other side. So the whole process does take about 2.5 hours.
How many superstitious traditions are you doing to try to keep it from being foggy or rainy that day?
Oh, so many, right? All of our students are doing, you know, no rain dances, whatever they can come up with. We definitely want it to be clear that day for sure. There's about a 50-50 chance based on historic cloud coverage that New York State will be clear versus cloudy.
And there are special tips for viewing. I guess sunglasses, since there's no sun, won't work. What's a better approach?
Yeah, you definitely want to make sure that you observe the sun safely during any eclipse. So you can get special solar eclipse glasses that block out over 99.999% of the light, which is way more than regular sunglasses. You can also use telescopes with special solar filters. And here at Oneonta, we're testing out something cool. We're actually going to observe the solar eclipse with a disco ball.
I'm sorry, can you say that again, please?
Yeah, a disco ball, right? So imagine this, you're standing outside, it's a beautiful sunny day, because it's going to be sunny on the eclipse, I promise. And you put this disco ball outside, the sunlight's going to come down, it's going to bounce off the little mirrors of the disco ball, and it's actually going to make a projection onto the ground, onto a nearby wall. And it's those projections that we can look at that will look like the circles of the sun. And you can actually watch the moon encroach across the sun for the eclipse. And then, you know, you can even see sunspots if they're visible and big enough too.
Sunspots?
Yeah, these are they look like little storms, but they're actually pretty gigantic. They're like planet-sized storms that appear on the sun. And through safety glasses, they look like little black dots. So you would see those in the projection too.
So at SUNY Oneonta,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be outside with a disco ball for viewing the eclipse. And disco balls have many mirrors, so you would have lots of eclipses in the image?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which makes it totally fun. If you spin the disco ball, they kind of dance around. It'll be really, really cool to see.
Where do I sign up for a ticket?
Well, you can just show up. Our event is free. People can find more information on our website. We're going to have an event in pretty much every science center and college with an astronomy program across New York State is going to have an event. So even if you're not near Oneonta, you know, just look up your local science center and see what they're doing, especially if you're Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, Watertown, Plattsburgh, those areas. Those are the ones in totality where you have that 2.5 minutes where you actually can look safely up at the sun and see the corona and all the beautiful stars right there during the day.
Now, I was reading the description on your page at SUNY Oneonta, and it said that you work on exoplanet research. Say what now?
Yeah, so exoplanets are planets that orbit other stars around the sky. So basically imagine going outside, looking up at any of the stars in the sky. Many of them probably have planetary systems around them, just like our solar system. And we have some telescopes on campus, including the largest optical telescope in New York State, where we can actually photograph the stars and detect when an exoplanet crosses in front of them and measure things like the size and whether or not it's a rocky or a gas giant planet. So my students and I are trying to contribute to this area by finding more exoplanetary systems and also learning about the properties of the ones that we already know about.
My mind gets blown thinking about astronomy. I mean, if I think about the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper, I can handle that. You get into Cassiopeia, it gets a little more complicated. But when they talk about the billions of light years and getting to the edge of the known universe and expanding how do you think in terms that huge about distance and size and stuff?
It's hard, you know, and every year my introductory astronomy class goes through that same kind of mental crisis that we all go through of, you know, the universe is so big and I'm just so small. And, you know, we try and make analogies where possible, but there's just so much out there in outer space and so much we still have left to learn.
Now, when I think of public education about astronomy and exoplanet research. How can I do this interview without asking about Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Of course.
So I know he bills himself now as an astrophysicist rather than astronomer. And I heard him say once that it's because astronomer was too close to the word astrologer.
Yep. You know, back thousands of years ago, astronomy and astrology were kind of one in the same. It was just the studies of the skies. But now we know so much more and we really can focus on the science aspect of it. So we all like to kind of call ourselves astrophysicists because it really enforces the science and stays away from the astrology.
Getting back to the eclipse, I just wanted to ask, are there any weird effects in nature on birds or animals during the moments of totality?
Definitely. Basically, when you're in totality, it gets dark for 2 to 4 minutes. And, you know, the animals especially, you know, they sense the encroaching darkness and they feel like it's nighttime. So whatever, you know, nightly patterns the animals have, you know, at the farm, the animals will often walk back towards the barn, the birds will quiet down. That type of thing is seen in nature all the time. And then there's always that slight sense of confusion right afterwards where it seems like nighttime only lasted a few minutes and then the animals kind of go back to their normal routine. But it does seem to kind of quiet things down and just, you know, influence nature in a really spectacular way.
I'm so glad I asked. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
So again, this is Valerie Rapson, Assistant Professor of Physics and Astronomy and astrophysicist at SUNY Oneonta. Valerie, I was so glad to meet you. Have a good eclipse.
Yes, thank you. I hope everyone will get a chance to get outside and enjoy it.
Here's Hudson Valley band Mercury Rev with The Dark is Rising.
Thank you. tides that flow between friends, winding streams without end. I wanted you to see. But it can seem surprising when you find yourself alone.
Next up, we hear local music. This is Jaded Azarides, the poetry of Columbia County author Karen Schomer, and the bass playing of Mike Watt, who's known for his musicianship in The Minutemen, Firehose, with E.E. Pop, and others. This song is called No One Else Is a Diamond from their 2020 album Trace.
My eyes collect pennies of light, minted on the river far below. As I cross the suspension bridge, they are like birds. Not birds I see, but all the birds. A lifetime of seagulls above oceans and parking lots and town dumps. Inverted wave points, whirling, spying. Folding wings and diving toward me, the sun shining, the one hard sun, and the many, many birds in the air. As I walk across the suspension bridge, the many birds I can't see, whirling, whipping about my ears, crying, tongues out, claws extended. Red dots on beaks for fledglings to peck at, and unforgiving eyes, clinical, judgmental eyes, looking to prey upon or steal from me.
You are what you need, like you know about. That's the Catskills' Shauna Falana on the radio at WGXC with Go on 90.7 FM. From somewhere up in the Catskill Mountains, that is Two Dark Birds from their 2022 album Porous. This song is called Two Stars on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Jaded Azarides is Columbia County poet Karen Schomer and legendary bass player Mike Watt from the Minutemen. This is from their 2021 record Forthright. The song is called An Adult in His Own House is Also a Child.
He runs up the stairs two at a time. His hand skims the banister. His small boots leave dirt. His mother calls from the kitchen, but he doesn't answer. He needs to find something in his room. the one thing that will prove to his friend he isn't a liar. He looks in plastic bins filled with action figures and trading cards, but it isn't there. He looks under the bed where he stuffs unfinished homework and soiled clothes he doesn't want his mother to find. He opens the closet door, and there's so much stuff. Boxes and suitcases rammed into piles. Outgrown coats. Cracked leather shoes. His father's old suits. Funeral clothes draped in tissue paper. That the act of looking becomes a mountain. The house becomes a mountain house. Craggy and peaked. Damp and smelling of old leaves and metallic water. He is lost here. He needs a path out of this damp, dripping place, threaded with black streams that lead deep underground. He climbs, and the way is steep. The earth loose and strung with thick roots. He finds a toehold on a boulder and drags himself onto a ledge. Breathless, he scrambles for a vantage, loses his balance and tips forward on sheer, glistening rocks.
Summertime in '83, I didn't need a J-O-B.
Catskill's Amy Rigby on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM, the home of the local hits. Listening to Derby from the 2019 album Scholars by Hudson-based band Buke and Gace on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Thank you.
That was Palinville's Florist with June 9th Nighttime from their 2022 album Florist.
And this is Shampoo, a 2009 song from Columbia County's Elvis Perkins in his Elvis Perkins in Deerland project.
Strangle